how my God became my Savior. Before a slave, somebody who has become enslaved for anything, for any reason, before anybody qualifies to redeem that person, that is to buy that person, to free that person from that bondage, number one condition is that he must be related by blood. If you are not related to the person by blood, you cannot be qualified to redeem the person. Number two, that person will not only be related by blood, but in the setting, he must be the next of kin. Number three, the person to redeem must be willing to redeem. If you are not willing to redeem, you cannot be forced to redeem. And the most important of all of them, even if you fulfill all the rest, you are related by blood, you are next of kin, you are willing to redeem, you must be free. Somebody in bondage cannot redeem another person in bondage. If Christ is our Redeemer, then he must be related to us by blood. He must be the next of kin to redeem us. He must be willing to redeem us, and he must be free of any bondage. If he is going to know what man go through, he will have to come like a human being and face the same temptation those children of his are facing, so that he will understand why we fell. So that he will understand when you fall and you cry to him for mercy, he will understand, because he himself, he faced the same temptation that you faced. So now he understands you. That is why he's a merciful God. The mercy stems from his knowledge of what we are going through, which he himself has been a partaker of. They say his name shall be called Jesus. And then the prophecy say his name shall be called what? Emmanuel. So he is both Jesus and Emmanuel. Now why is he Jesus? Because he is Jehovah saves. But why is he Emmanuel? He is God in our midst. He is God. What is the meaning of Emmanuel? God with us. God with us. Why is he God with us? He is God with us to be our Yeshua, Jehovah, to save us. Who is Jesus? The creator of the heavens and the earth, that stepped down to redeem his own people. How my God became my Savior. There is nothing new anybody can bring out from this Bible that has not been preached before. But we pick these scriptures just to remind us of who we are and give us reason to take our relationship with God more seriously. For it is who you know him to be, or how who you know him to be, that you will relate with him. Your knowledge determines how you relate with him. The more you know him, the better the relationship gets. Amen. That's why it's good to study the scriptures, to show yourself approved unto God. I pick a text from Proverbs chapter 30 verse 4. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4.
Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell?
What is his name? The name of he who has gathered the wind in his fist. All the whole wind is in his fist. Who has bound the waters in a garment. Pack them. He has the ability to pack the whole water and put them, hold them for one cloth. Who has established all the end of the earth. How many people know him? If you know him, then what is his name? And if he has a son, what is the son's name? If thou can tell, and I'm telling you, not too many people know this. Although some of them are even going to church, and some of them may even be pastors like me. And that is why, amen. We want to know, see what the Bible tries to let us know something, this popular scripture in Luke chapter 10. Verse 22 to 24. You will write some scriptures down, certainly.
Yes. 10:22. All things are delivered to me of my
Who
Father.
Who is the person speaking? Who is the person speaking?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ is the one speaking here. All things are delivered to me of my Father.
And no man knoweth who the Son is.
Can you see why he asked, who is his son? What is his name? If you know, what's the name of his son? Because he's saying that, no man know who the son is. Only the father knows.
But the father. And who the father is, but the son. And he to whom the son will reveal him.
Okay. Up to verse 24.
And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see.
After he spoke generally, he turned to his disciples privately. What did he say?
Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see.
This see here is a revelation of what is going on. It's not physical eye open to see. Go on.
For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them.
And if you go to John chapter 14, and let's take a little long reading about from verse 1, read it up to verse 11, and hear this discussion.
Let
the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples. Go ahead.
Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me.
Please emphasize that verse again.
Let not your hearts be troubled.
Yes.
Ye believe in God. Believe also in me.
You say you believe in God, Abi. You believe there is God. You believe, Abi. Believe also in me as you believe in God.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto
him, verse 4.
And whither I go, ye know.
Where I am going, he said, you already know, you know it.
And the way ye know.
The way to where I am going, you already know it. What did Thomas say?
Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way?
Okay.
Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and
you
the life.
You know the way because you know me. You know the way because you know me. If you know Jesus, you have found the way to heaven.
Amen.
Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
I say it again. If you know Jesus, you have found the way to heaven. Hear what he said. Complete it.
Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also.
Okay, now this is very serious, verse 7. If you have known me, you should have known my Father also. Go on.
And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him.
You have seen, you know, from now on. Hey, are we reading something? Hallelujah. From now on, you know him and you have seen him. Go on.
Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and he sufficeth us.
He was confused now. Maybe they're around. Show us now. Maybe we see him too. Let's know him and we'll be satisfied.
Jesus said unto him,
yes.
Have I been so long time with you?
Listen to that discussion. Say it again.
Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you?
Yes.
And yet, hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father.
He that has seen me has seen the Father. The day you will catch this revelation that looking at Jesus, you are looking at the creator of the heavens and the earth, it will do you good in your relationship with him. Go on.
And now sayest thou then, show us the Father.
Why are you still saying that I should show you the Father? If you see me, you see the Father. But go ahead.
Believest thou not that I am in the Father?
You see where the mystery is?
And the Father in me?
Don't you know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?
The words that I speak unto you, yes. I speak not of myself.
Yes.
But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me.
Uh-huh.
Or else, believe me for the very work's sake.
Amen. Because the things that Jesus was doing, hallelujah. See the difference between you and Jesus. Before you pray to the Father, for the Father to hear you, you will pray in the name of Jesus. But Jesus was not doing miracle in any name. He was doing it by his own authority. Hey, rise and walk. Hallelujah. Then he remembered he's the creator. He will carry sand, for he remembered how he formed man and do an engineering work of creation in the eye, and the eye is restored. Then he wants to cross over, and there is a sea, there is no boat. Oh, hallelujah. And the earth was without form, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face. Amen. Hallelujah. And he stepped on water and began to walk on the water. And he did not speak in tongue before the storm that was raging to capsize that boat disappeared. He just turned and said, hey, peace, be still. And the disciples said, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? That's why Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And this is the mystery we are looking at in my exhortation that I titled, How My God Became My Savior. How My God Became My Savior. It is a mystery. See the way Apostle Paul was talking about that mystery, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 8.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
Mystery.
Even the hidden wisdom.
Is it hidden?
Which,
yes.
God,
go on.
Which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
He has ordained this very mystery unto our glory. Go on.
Which none of the princes of this world knew.
Uh-huh.
For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
If they had known who Jesus was, they would not have crucified him. He told the Romans, Romans 16, verse 26 and verse 25 and verse 26. Verse 25 and verse 26.
Now,
Romans chapter 16.
Now unto him by his of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ.
Listen to that language.
According to the revelation of the mystery.
He had a revelation of this mystery, which by God's grace, the bride of Jesus Christ, Christians, elect of God, we also have it. Uh-huh.
Which was kept secret since the world began.
Verse 26.
But now is made manifest,
uh-huh,
and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith.
Oh, glory be to God. This mystery, amen, is not revealed to everybody. Church, listen. Many of us are in the church today, and you are Christians by religion, not by revelation. Have revelation so that your spiritual life can have a meaning. This is the reason why I keep emphasizing some of these teachings. To stop people from just be religious so that you can build a personal relationship with your Creator. Many of us don't have personal relationship with Him. And that is the reason why you don't even have confidence. You don't feel confident to approach Him. You always see yourself unworthy. You always see yourself as if you are not qualified. There are some people that have that grace to talk to God, and God will hear them. You are not. You have not reached the level of talking to God. So, and the deceit or the confusion is further compounded by these denominationals that have turned Christianity into something else, where you see somebody has graduated as a minister from ordinary pastor to senior pastor to reverend doctor to bishop, archbishop, senior apostle, and all the hierarchies. So you now, you are looking at you never even be anything at all. So God will not hear you. So you are always looking for a prophet, a pastor, amen, through whom you will get to see God. It is lack of revelation.
That's right.
This man that is speaking to you, I am where I am today, it's by revelation. I'm talking of my relationship with God. And I try to teach you something you don't know. That nothing makes me special before God. The only special person before God is that man, is that woman that will take God at His word. You won't understand this. That is the person God respects. It's not the person that sat down on a throne, archbishop, on a throne with a big cap of a king, with a seat so big that he's tiny in the center space, where he's even looking for where to put it, just to look big. That has nothing to do with relationship with God. It has only something to do with relationship with his church members, who will look at him as some great man. But before God, it is how you take his word that makes him have respect for you. That is why I do everything to make people realize who you are. Don't look down on yourself like those 10 elders with that evil report. It is an evil report that God is saying, go and possess it, I've given it to you. And then the leaders are coming to say, we cannot take it. We are like a grasshopper before them. You have belittled God. It is an evil report. And yet they were the leaders. I'm saying this. If you know who Jesus is, it will reflect your relationship with Him. Your relationship with God will not be determined with your frequency in the church. Your relationship with God, oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Listen, church. Amen. All the doctrines we teach you here has only one aim: to make your relationship with God better. You didn't go to Bible school. This is our Bible school now. Every sermon here is a lesson in the school. I hope you know that Christianity is not practiced during service. You don't practice Christianity inside church now. You come to learn. Do you practice engineering in the university? Do you practice engineering in the university? Do you practice agriculture in the university? You learn. Then what you learn, you go out and practice it. The outcome determines how you learned, whether you really learned or not. No matter how you teach them love, divine love, divine love, divine love, and they are shouting, amen, amen, tell them, you are receiving lesson. When we go out, it will not be tell them, it will not be practice time. That is when you will know whether you learned anything at all that you came to church today. How it will reflect in your relationship with God will determine whether you understood what I've tried to teach. And may the Lord help us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The mystery of redemption is very deep. God will remain mysterious. You will never finish knowing him. He designed his agenda for redemption, and he alone will cause you to understand it. And I will continue to say it. No matter how some of you get angry that I said Judas is a special vessel of honor. Judas is my brother. And he remains my brother. When you get to heaven, you see Judas, drive and come out to here. And I will listen. And I am sure I will see him by my understanding of this divine agenda. That's why I say it is deep. You can never understand who Jesus Christ is and hate Judas. If not for Judas, you will not be saved today. It is deep. Why are you hating somebody whose action saved you? And above all, God caused him to do that action for your salvation. What are you saying? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, see how deep the mystery of God is. See something very interesting. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and verse 17. One statement there I want to borrow. Let no man therefore judge you in what you eat, in what you drink, or in respect of any day that is holy, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath days, that one day is Sabbath day. He said all these ordinances you see in the Old Testament under the law, a shadow, that is where I am going, shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Apostle Paul said, Christ Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness. Everything was pointing to him. The law, the ordinance of first fruits was referring to him. The ordinance of wave offering was referring to him. The ordinance of Pentecost was referring to him. The ordinance of Passover was referring to him. The sacrificial lamb for the atonement of sin was referring to him. Everything was referring to Jesus. The story of Joseph is the story of Jesus. Everything about him. The story of Moses is the story of Jesus. If you see any story in the Bible and you don't see redemption there, go back and read again. You will see Christ there. So let's see it now. What is our topic? Our topic is how my God became my Savior. And to make us understand it, he gave us the story of Ruth and Naomi in the book of Ruth. And we know the story. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know the story. This Israelite by the name of Elimelech with his wife Naomi had two children. They went There was famine in Israel, so they migrated. There was famine in Nigeria, they migrated to Europe. Very soon, they will come back. Very soon, they will run and come back. At least, coronavirus cannot prosper here. Yes, so there's something good here too. Our weather will not allow it to happen here. But whatever it is, they went to Moab. And while they were in Moab, amen, their two children married two Moabitish women, Orpah and Ruth. I'm summarizing the story because I read out the whole of the book of Ruth from chapter 1. Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died. Shortly after, the two sons also died, leaving her as she went empty-handed, full, she coming back empty-handed. Now she heard that God has visited these people and now there's plenty in the land of Israel. She decided to go back home. We know the story. My emphasis is not the story because even that story, I will need to take it for you to know who and who are the types of Ruth and Orpah. They are sitting down in the church of Jesus Christ. One day we will talk about it. But there is an aspect of that story I want us to listen to. Amen. While we all know how it came about that Orpah had to kiss the mother-in-law and went back to her Moab, but Ruth said, your God will be my God. And follow her. That itself is a type of the Christians in the church. We will look at that, but that is not where I am going. I'm going to how my God became my Savior. Praise the Lord. And when they reached, I want you to note something I'll be referring to. Let's read some scriptures. I want you to note that when they got back to Israel, chapter 2, Ruth chapter 2, note verse 1.
And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz.
Now, there is a reason why verse 1 is emphasized like that. Again, read that verse 1 again.
And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband.
Naomi had a relative. This relative is relative of her husband, related by blood.
A mighty man of wealth.
He was a mighty man of wealth.
Of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz.
What is his name?
Boaz.
Boaz. Somebody shout Boaz. You will need that name later. Now, if you go to chapter 3, let's do some reading from verse 1. Read it up to verse 13.
Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her,
yes,
my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that may be well with thee?
What is she trying to do? Trying to seek rest for her. This is a woman without a husband. And Naomi cannot marry her. She's a woman. And if you must marry from my family, which you say my people will be your people, I don't know how I'm going to do it because will I born children again? Will I go and marry and born children? Will you wait again for me to have another child for you to marry? But let me seek rest for you. Read on.
And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie.
Now, what you are reading in chapter 3 is Naomi seeking redemption for Ruth. See the way it is going. Read on.
And thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry.
His Bible study, follow what we are saying, you know, because If some of you, if you follow, you will even go deeper in revelation than what I am seeing. Yes?
He went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself. And behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requires."
Now, wait. That means, that statement, read that verse 11 again.
"And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest."
So, she actually came, you know, the story is just compressed there. It means, by the action she did, she was looking for redemption. There was something she required, and he was promising her that he will do it. That is, he will redeem her. But let the story go on.
"For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a righteous woman. And now it is true that I am their near kinsman."
See? What? Again?
"And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman."
I am thy near kinsman.
"How be it, there is a kinsman nearer than
nearer than I. What is the emphasis for this redemption? Kinsman. The emphasis for this is what? Kinsman. Read on.
"Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning."
And go to chapter 4 and read the first 17 verses again. Then so that when I'm making reference, you can understand what I'm talking about.
"Then went Boaz up to the gate."
I wanted to see how she was redeemed. Go on.
"And sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, 'Oh, such a one, turn aside, sit down here.' And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, 'Sit down here.' And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, 'Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If that will redeem it, redeem it. But if that will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there's none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee.' And he said, 'I will redeem it.' Then said Boaz, 'What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance.' And the kinsman said, 'I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my rights to thyself, for I cannot redeem it.' Now, this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore, the kinsman said unto Boaz, 'Buy it for thee.' So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, 'Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day.' And all the people that were in the gates and the elders said, 'We are witnesses.'"
That's right.
"The Lord make the woman that is coming to thy house like Rachel and like Leah,
yes,
which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bore unto Judah,
okay,
of the seed which the Lord give thee of this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife.
So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife.
"And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son."
Now listen to the remaining story. Listen. Go on.
"And the women said unto Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And it shall be unto thee a restorer of the life.
Every redeemer is a restorer of life.
And a nourisher of thy old age.
Uh-huh.
For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons,
hey,
at burning.
Uh-huh.
And Naomi took the child, and she laid it in her bosom, uh-huh, and became nurse unto it.
Uh-huh.
And the women and neighbors gave it a name, saying,
what name did he give?
There is a son born to Naomi.
Oh, glory be to God.
And they called his name Obed.
Uh-huh.
He is the father of Jesse.
Obed, that was born by Ruth, the Moabitish woman, that was redeemed by Boaz. Obed is the father, the grandfather of David. Jesse, the father of David. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to hang it there. What we see in this story, there is God's plan of redemption there. What provoked this teaching is when I listened to a big Pentecostal pastor who was using that story of Ruth to teach prosperity. All they see in every story, they search for what they can use to portray prosperity. And see the beautiful language type B was putting it there. But while he was looking at prosperity, I'm looking at redemption. Praise the Lord. I am looking at that story, making me understand the divine agenda for salvation. Now, what is it teaching us? That story is teaching us the law of redemption. Number one, before a slave, somebody who has become enslaved for anything, for any reason, before anybody qualifies to redeem that person, that is to buy that person, to free that person from that bondage, number one condition is that he must be related by blood. That is what we see in that story. If you are not related to the person by blood, you cannot be qualified to redeem the person. I am looking at the topic, how my God became my savior. You see it? Hallelujah. Number two, that person will not only be related by blood, but in the setting, he must be the next of kin. Amen. Number three, the person to redeem must be willing to redeem. If you are not willing to redeem, you cannot be forced to redeem.
Hallelujah.
And the most important of all of them, even if you fulfill all the rest, you are related by blood, you are next of kin, you are willing to redeem, you must be free. Somebody in bondage cannot redeem another person in bondage. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. We call Christ our redeemer. Why is Christ our redeemer? If Christ is our redeemer, then he must be related to us by blood. He must be the next of kin to redeem us. He must be willing to redeem us, and he must be free of any bondage. How does he fulfill this? When he is not you are not even a proper Igbo. You are not a proper Igbo. You are Aka Igbo. Eh? David, you Igbo man. How is Christ your next of kin? How is Christ qualified to be your redeemer? How is Christ? You have to understand this to see how mysterious this plan of redemption is. How does he fit into all this? Praise the Lord. Now listen. I just write these scriptures down or just search them. There are too many in the Bible where God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is referred to as a redeemer. Isaiah 44 verse 22, I just put some scriptures here. Isaiah 47 verse 4, Psalm 19 verse 14, 2 Samuel 7 verse 23, Isaiah 54 verse 5, and so on. Let me call them again for those who will really go to open them and confirm what I'm saying. Isaiah 44 verse 22. Isaiah 47 verse 4. Psalm 19 verse 14. 2 Samuel 7 verse 23. Isaiah 54 verse 5. All refer to God as a redeemer. If God himself is a redeemer, then it is because it's not just an attribute. He is going to display that attribute of a redeemer.